Thank you, Dr. Borders. You know, very interesting presentation, and I do have a question for you. You know, because this is related, you know, to the work that I do also. But I'm gonna be good and keep it, you know, till the discussion time. So our next speaker is Mr. Ray Starr, and he is a senior biostatistician at the LA Care Health Plan, a public agency that provides Medicaid and SCHIP health insurance to a large multicultural low-income population in Los Angeles County in California. And he is going to share with us his work with regard to gender differences in rating pharmacy services.
Enjoyed hearing Dr. Borders. I mean, not tapping on your doorstep, using the geographical data looks handy. I'd like to look into that.
Thank you, Bill. Very unprepared and you're not bringing
any nice lines. No, I'm being undisciplined. I want to skip over a lot of words without losing anybody.
Right. So we can have time for
perfect. Okay. My co-author Susan Leung is the director of pharmacy and formula at LA Care. Disclosure: the following personal financial relationships of commercial interest. I'm employed as senior biostatistician at LA Care Health Plan, the local initiative health authority of Los Angeles County, California. LA Care is a public entity competing with commercial insurers in the Medicaid and SCHIP markets in LA County. And I'll be using the CAPS and HEDIS titles throughout the briefing, which are trademarks of those agencies. Okay, so this is the outline. I'm not sure how to back up. Okay, the learning objectives, this is what I'll cover in the briefing, are gender differences in ratings of pharmacy services, comparing gender differences in barriers reported, and contrast ratings of pharmacy services reported by adult female patients versus the patient's ratings of pharmacy services received by pediatric female patients. In the CAPS surveys that we used, that's a consumer assessments of health providers and systems. There's an adult survey where the Medicaid member is responding for him or herself, and there's also a child survey, and that there the parent or guardian is responding. And in both cases, we had gender as a factor. Okay, so a little background on the health plan, because it matters to the topic as to whether we have information interesting to you or usable to you. So here's who we are. We're mostly Medicaid, health plan, urban, two-thirds pediatric, often Spanish-speaking. Roughly 21% of Medicaid-managed care population in California is in our health plan in one city or one county. Roughly 2.1% of Medicaid-managed care population in the United States is in the health plan. Roughly 1 in 14 LA County residents is a member of the health plan. And we serve a number of different languages, so we have different barriers and challenges. It strikes me as a relevant population for speaking to this question of gender disparity. The design, since 2006, we've augmented the annual CAPS survey as part of our contract with the state, the department that funds us. And also, we were seeking NCQA accreditation in 2007, so we've been doing this survey annually. It allows us to add some questions that are not in the core survey. So we added some ratings for pharmacy and the rating of quality of pharmacy services and describing the barriers. So we suggested a number of barriers on the questions which the member could answer multiple choice. Did they have XYZ as a barrier getting to the pharmacy? And of course, we track gender as part, one of the demographics on our sample. Okay, so in general, here's the breakdown. We're largely female in our adult population, 75% female. In the child populations, it's pretty even split. And as far as the parents of the children, the parent responding on the survey, it's disproportionately female, 91%. Now, this slide we did pretty rigorous analysis to test whether males or females were getting better pharmacy services or had different barriers. This is a barriers question. So the rating, the top one, there was nothing really significant except borderline. So because we were pooling data from 2006 to 2011, it makes a super sample. So it looks extremely powerful, but that probably overstates the precision. So we used Cochrane Mantle Hanschel approach to control for, test for the impact of adding all these samples together to make sure we're not overstating the precision of the estimate that we get in the end. I also ran Fisher's exact test with on the pooled sample, and so that's a less rigorous approach. And in this case, I'm using lowercase f for female, uppercase male, and red means that particular demographic was higher, and it's red means it's a bad thing to be higher. So if it's red and if it's F, women had a worse score, or female children or female adults. And then male, if it's red, it means a bad score. But none of these were significant in the Cochrane-Mantle-Hanschel context. So we're not, as you may begin to note, this is going to be a null finding. We don't find a systematic disparity. But going down the list, tallying it up, males end up a little worse off on the less precise tests, where I'm doing Fisher's exact test with no correction, no adjustment for the fact that I'm pooling all these years together as a sample, which they are not one completed sample. So the weaker test, or the borderline test, would show that males come off a little worse off across the board on all of these tests. But in general, I would view it as a null finding, that we're not finding disparities. Okay, so why might that be? LA Care members can choose among several insurers. So this is starting to take apart where are they being served and who is serving them. We contract with other health plans to, in essence, we're renting their provider network so that our members can have choice and access. One plan partner is vertically integrated with in-house pharmacies. Another plan partner contracts heavily with one particular pharmacy chain. So expected some sort of difference there. So does choice trump convenience, getting the medications in-house versus being able to go to different pharmacies? So it's pertinent, but again, the analysis showed no differences by gender in rating pharmacy services and quality of pharmacy instructions, even when controlling for the retail system as a potential confounder. The argument I'm leading up to is that this is a population where if you were to find a disparity in gender, you would expect to see it here. These are urban poor. It's Medicaid. It's not general population. Okay. So in general, it's a null finding. The data show virtually no gender differences, and we explored for disparities in multiple niches. We asked the members of broad and specific array of barriers. I'm going to back up. I apologize. To the barriers. So the barriers we asked about were distance to pharmacy, the drug not covered on the health plan formulary, pharmacy hours, were they open too late or close to. Not open early enough, and are they open late enough? Pharmacy staff don't speak the patient or guardian's language. Pharmacists explaining medications poorly, and so forth. So there are a number of different aspects of access that we asked about. So there, if there is a disparity, this is a pretty broad set to test on. So we should have seen some disparity in one of these. I understand to defend a null finding, I have to look in multiple niches before you should believe the finding. So we put it up against quite an array of rivals. So there are many barriers. We tested multiple samples, adults and children, across the multi-year period. So we have a good time series. The samples are independent. We tested the gender of the patient and of the parent or guardian, in which case the parent guardian is the purchaser of the pharmacy services. So it wouldn't be the child confronting the barrier so much as the parent. So we have a reasonable set of samples. Among the borderline results, wherever gender barriers were noticed, there's no consistent story. It's mixed of male and female. Some of the barriers impacted adult and child males, while other barriers impacted adult and child females. So we're testing a number of different niches. Testing members' ratings of quality of pharmacist instructions was one of our other questions. There were no significant differences by gender, adult or child. And then we analyzed whether rating of instructions and services differed by gender and by retail pharmacy networks. And so we found no effects, even doing drill down analysis. Now there's another source of comparison. I'm pulling a little bit of a switch on you. So if there are any doctors in your room, you should note that, gee, I didn't find fault with the pharmacists for gender disparities. So what do? You attack the doctors. I'm kidding. But we did have another question that related to gender. We asked members, does their doctor or the clinic staff need training in working with people with many different kinds of difference? Age, disability, gender was one of them. And so 64% of the parents felt that the doctor or staff needed some kind of diversity training. And there were about 9 categories of different kinds of training that we asked about. In the adult population, 47% felt their doctors or staff needed some kind of diversity training. But for working with women, it was 19% of adults and 14% of parents of children felt their doctors or staff needed training in working with women, and much less a percent for men. So that was the one disparity we did find in the whole survey, was that there is room for improvement in the in the clinic setting, not in the pharmacy setting. So for the prescribers, there's a bit of a problem. It's not a huge problem, but it's a noticeable problem. And so, but again, the pharmacy comes off clean. Now, the implication of this particular question is that the members in the survey pool had no clue how we're going to use this. Thank you. So we, I believe this is a good measure that the people in the survey pool are willing to identify gender issues when they're perceived. So they weren't just answering everything favorably in a patterned response. When they felt there was an issue with diversity training in the clinic, they're willing to speak up and say so. So the rating on the pharmacists I tend to trust because they're willing to speak up when there's a problem with the prescriber, and there's no reason to give the pharmacist a pass. Okay, so analysis. There are likely reasons why I didn't find gender disparities in this. Since I'm coming up with a null finding, kind of giving pharmacies a clean bill of health on gender disparities. There's gender diversity among prescribers in LA County. There's gender diversity among pharmacists and staff. The provider network, the PCP network serving our population, tends to be mixed. They're often foreign trained, and so there isn't a systematic bias in selecting the providers. So the providers are of mixed gender. There's gender diversity among the pharmacists and staff. Even in managed care, members have a choice among doctors and pharmacists, so they can walk. Diversity and choice in the pharmacy network in Los Angeles County. They're a large change, but an oddity of LA County is they have a lot of small independent pharmacies. They have big chains too, but there are a lot of independents. So people can pick a pharmacy they like. We try to assign them to a pharmacy, but then they can change that. We try to assign them somewhere close to them, so by distance. Women outnumber men in the Medicaid market, as you saw in the first statistical slide, that this is our primary population. So the services and formularies may reflect their needs better. That's who we serve. That's our population, our women. And their male children also, but there's no systematic bias that I could detect in that. The competitive nature of Medicaid insurance market, it discourages neglect of any major demographic. Nobody can afford to. The pharmacist doesn't want to deny access to potential customers. So the Medicaid insurance market's competitive. The retail pharmacy market is competitive. So those may work against any disparities you might expect to find. That may be why we're not seeing disparities. Implications. Given that it's a null finding, this is a particularly suitable population, I believe, for finding disparities if there were disparities. And this doesn't undermine any other finding by any other presenter in the session. This is our context, LA County and pharmacists. The finding I would have is there are shared stakes. The analysis indicates that women's access to pharmacy services is best improved by focusing on improving facets of service that benefit all demographics. Perhaps diversity training for the prescribers is the one prescription that I would offer in the briefing. But the general areas that we're harming all people were the reducing crowding and wait time at the pharmacies, encourage doctors to prescribe within the formulary, because when they describe off formulary, then there's a conflict between the patient and the pharmacist. Why can't I get the drug my doctor ordered? Well, it's not on formulary, and that causes phone calls back and forth, and sometimes the members pay out of pocket, which is serious for Medicaid. They don't have that much money to begin with, and so that's a problem we would take from, instead of the pharmacy department, we'll carry that over to the Physician Quality Committee. So instructing doctors would be one of the to-dos coming out of this. Then recap, again, no detectable gender differences, and that's more or less the answer throughout the learning objectives. We didn't anticipate a null finding, but that's what we came up with, so that's what we're reporting. Among the adult members and parents of child members, we didn't find differences. The third learning objective, no systematic differences. Pediatric patients are lighter users, so maybe we're not detecting something there because they're lighter users of pharmacy services. And then compare differences by gender, no differences detected by different the health plan structure. And the fifth one, prescriber practices would be the place we would focus to help all of our patients. Actionability. I like the idea of adding these open-ended questions to CAHPS because this is a survey most health plans do anyway. So it's a way of getting value on questions of interest, for instance, gender disparities. We could piggyback that on top of a survey we do anyway. So I would encourage exploiting that resource if you're in a health plan context. Expanding the forms in which member feedback on pharmacy services is communicated to doctors. We've given this to the pharmacy director, who introduced findings into the pharmacy and therapy committee, and then included some of the feedback in the continuing ed that the pharmacy department offers. And this is me. And that's the end of my briefing. If there are questions, or are you waiting till the end, Amal? Perfect.